The Church of Shear Jashub Christian Tabernacle in Madison, Connecticut greets those joining us for this edition of Shear Jashub, featuring the teaching ministry of Pastor Greg Scalzo. Hi, I'm Patty Scalzo, and today we will be listening to the conclusion of a sermon in my husband's series on the Book of Romans. Pastor has been going line by line through chapter 1, and from verses 18 to 32, we have read Paul's description of the degeneration of mankind as the nations spiral down in moral decay, suppressing the truth of God in their unrighteousness and unthankfulness and idolatrous worship of created things. In response to their foolish thoughts and darkened hearts, God then gave them up to uncleanness and vile passions and a debased mind. When we left off, Pastor Greg proceeded to 1 Corinthians to further examine this progression into paganism. We will go back a couple of minutes for context.
But look for a moment. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And Paul states very clearly, do you not know in verse 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Fact, right? The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all the unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Fact. Do you not know, 1 Corinthians 6, 9, that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? He says, do not be deceived. Don't let anyone tell you anything different. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals. The word there is a word for a catamite. It's interesting, in the Bible, Paul makes a distinction between two types of homosexuals. The first is a catamite, or the King James will say an effeminate, those that submit. And then he says, nor sodomites. The King James says abusers. Other translations will say male homosexuals. Two roles being played. Nor adulterers, nor catamites, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Straightforward fact. Statement of fact. Cannot inherit. But then you have verse 11. And it's important to understand verse 11 when you discuss the slide down of paganism, that they are without excuse. He says, and such were some of you. He's talking to the people in the church of Corinth. Corinth was a very immoral place. He says, such were some of you, but you were what? You were washed, but you were what? You were sanctified. You were set apart to be made holy. But you were justified. How were they washed from the uncleanness? How were they sanctified from the violence, from the unrighteousness, from the reviling, from the extortion? How were they washed? How were they sanctified? How were they justified, declared righteous? He says, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That people caught in that downward spiral of paganism, even as they get deeper and deeper into it, they can still be pulled out. And such was some of you, he says, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified. Even after all this. And how is it done? In the name of Jesus Christ. By the Spirit. You can only have the Spirit of God working that way in an individual because of what Jesus Christ did. That's why we need Jesus. And after everything else, no matter where you are in that slide as an unbeliever, if you're just a little ways in or all the way deep down, what do you say when the Spirit of God and others have testified to you and told you about Jesus Christ? Do you get down on your knees? Are there tears of sorrow for what we've done? Are there tears of joy for what Jesus did? Do we repent and accept Jesus Christ onto everlasting life? Or do we continue to harden the heart and say no until an eternal no, and we blaspheme, we speak against the Spirit of God? How do we react when there's God's salvation and His washing and His justification in the name of Jesus Christ? There's a parable in Luke chapter 13. In Luke chapter 13, in the first section, Jesus says, "Do you suppose," in verse 2, "that the Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? Their blood would Pilate kill them, and he mixed their blood with the sacrifices." Jesus said in verse 3, "I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all also likewise perish." Or those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, verse 4, "Do you think they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And then he tells them this parable, verse 6. He also spoke this parable. "A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, 'Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? It's worthless. It's futile. It's empty. It's of no profit.' But he," the keeper of the vineyard, "answered and said to him, 'Sir, let it alone this year also, until I," let me do my work. Let me do my work until I dig around it and I fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down." See, all mankind is like that fig tree, and God has given us this great gift of life, but we're unthankful, and we're unfruitful. And some really push God away, others push Him away somewhat, and they go back and forth between a form of godliness and paganism, and some slide all the way down, but no fruit is born. And who is the keeper of the vineyard? Who makes the intercession? Who does the work necessary to make that fig tree bear fruit? It's Christ's intercession. It's Jesus. He intercedes, and He does the work, and then we either say yes and let Him work on us and we bear fruit, or we say no. And if we say no at that point, that's a dangerous place to say no. You were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. The work of salvation of Jesus Christ is to deal with this condition of the human race, this hopeless slide down, that there's no other way to save, that comes off that original sin, that original attitude, and just keeps getting worse and worse as men push God away, and then God says, "Okay, I give you over to what you want." The wrong attitude in each of us, that we think we can be our own God. And you can read about these pagan nations, the slide, the idolatry. You read about the idolatry, and you read in Romans chapter 1, you read from verses 18 to 32, what we just studied. And you can imagine, remember, the church at Rome had both Jewish believers, who were actually the more active, the starters of the church, and then these Gentiles coming in, because Rome was such a metropolitan capital, multi-nation capital, with people coming in for commerce, to exchange. And you can imagine the Jews in the church listening to this and listening about these Gentiles, these pagan nations, in verses 18 to 32, and not in agreement and saying, "Yep, yeah, that's them. That's them. Boy, Paul's really telling us what they're like," right? But then what does Paul do immediately in chapter 2? Same connection. He says, "Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man. Whoever you are who judge, forever you judge another, you condemn yourselves, for you who judge practice the same things." And he goes on in chapter 2, and we'll study that, Lord willing, when we pick it up, to describe how the Jews are just as guilty, even with the law, even with the temple, even with the prophets, even with the word of God, they're just as guilty in this slide as those pagan heathen Gentiles. And so what? So they both need Jesus. They both need the vine keeper. They both need Jesus. In a very, very beautiful way, Paul weaves this from the very beginning, the introduction, to show in Romans, the one thing you walk away with is you need Jesus Christ. How else can your heart be softened? How else can you be brought back to God? How else can you turn this spiral around that's humanly impossible? With man, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. For that matter, the fig tree in the scriptures, over and over, is symbolic of what? Israel, the Jewish nation, Jerusalem. So that fig tree that's being tended, the first application of the Jewish people, and then the Gentiles, all mankind needs Jesus Christ, because all have sinned, he'll tell us. There is no one righteous. They've altogether turned aside, pushed God away, said no to God's truth, exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and knowingly or unknowingly worshiped the created thing over the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just pray that you help us as we continue in this study to see clearly the areas of how we have our free will. You have your response, and the answer to all of it is your Son, Jesus Christ, and how we all, Jew and Gentile, young and old, male and female, those who think they're so good and those that figure they're just too bad, we all need Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, amen.
You can rehear this program and hundreds of other radio programs on our church website at shiarjashub.org. Serious times require serious Bible study. And on shiarjashub.org, you will find libraries of audio and video programs, information about our church and our pastors, time and place of our services and Bible studies, articles, blogs, and special offers to help you in your walk with Jesus. Current sermons include studies on foundational Christianity, last day events, and an overview of the books of the Bible. On the website, you will also have the ability to donate to the ministry of Shiar Jashub Christian Tabernacle on a secure page. You will also find links to the Heavenly Authority series and Romans series on Apple Podcasts and Amazon Music. And of course, there are links to our 10:30 a.m. live stream of the Sunday service on YouTube and X.com. Our service starts at 10 a.m. with worship, and then we go live for the message and the Lord's Supper. These videos are left up on YouTube, X.com, and then posted as well on rumble.com and the church website. And that website again is shiarjashub.org. And you can always check Isaiah 7, verse 3, for the spelling of Shiar Jashub.